And our second lesson comes to us today from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We've just heard a time with the children where Paul is meeting Lydia and a beloved church, and now Paul is writing to another beloved church, this time in Galatia. Chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, Paul's letter to the Galatians. For you were called to freedom, siblings. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become servants to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Freedom comes in many shapes and sizes. Freedom in Christ comes in many shapes and sizes. There's a legend about how freedom first comes with great heartache and then is found in grace. And the legend is about Judas Iscariot. Remember Judas? A sad, sad tale. After his death, Judas found himself in the bottom of a deep and slimy pit. And for thousands of years, he wept his repentance. And when tears were finally spent, he looked up and he saw very far into the distance a speck of light, a tiny glimmer. And after a time, he began to climb up toward the light. The walls of the pit were dark and wet, and time again, he kept slipping back. But finally, after great effort, he reached the top. And as he dragged himself into this room at the top of this pit, he saw it was an upper room. And he saw people, his people, people he knew, people sitting around a table. And Jesus said, "We've been waiting for you, Judas. We couldn't begin until you arrived." Oh, we've been waiting for you. And we couldn't begin until you arrived. You know, I'm a really weepy person at the best of times. And I cried when I read that story because I know that freedom in Christ comes with great anguish and also miraculous surprises. When you travel with Paul to Galatia, you meet new Christians for whom freedom in Christ has just been given them, a huge gift. The problem, however, is in this church, they find no joy in their freedom. Instead, they're all held captive by unending arguments. They're so snippy. We meet a church biting and devouring one another, tearing each other apart, and completely turning their backs on the grace that's been given and set before them. For Paul, whose gospel message is the unbound and unrestrained life in Christ, the Galatians fighting is the outward, visible sign of their inward captivity. And Paul knows all about captivity. Paul knows all about freedom in Christ because he has been captive. He says, "I've known the captivity of illness and ill health and disease." Paul says, "Five times I have received 40 lashes, less one. Once I was stoned. Three times I have been shipwrecked. I've been in danger from rivers, from robbers, and my own people. I've been imprisoned in toil and hardship, in hunger and thirst, in cold and in exposure." The wonder of Paul is that he was alive at all and living this unbound, unrestrained life. Frederick Buechner puts it like this. "You see, there was hardly a whistle stop in the Mediterranean world that Paul didn't make it to eventually, and sightseeing was the least of it. He planted churches the way Johnny Appleseed planted trees. And whenever he had 10 minutes to spare, he wrote letters. He browbeat. He coaxed. He discomforted. He cursed. He bared his soul. He reprimanded. He represented himself in love, but as someone who complained. He theologized, he inspired, and he exalted in his churches. Do you hear it? It's everything a person can give. And everything that he ever said or wrote or did from the Damascus Road on was an attempt to bowl over the human race as he had been bowled over." And he does this with us. Time after time after time, letter after letter after letter. Remember, the letters of Paul are the first writings we have that came way before the Gospels were written down. These are the first looks, the first sightings, the first experiences of Christians. And the day that Paul found freedom in Christ was a day for him that nothing became impossible. And this is why he is so distraught. He's so distraught over his beloved Galatian church. They've taken this gift of grace, this gift of salvation, and they've turned it into a reason for self-indulgence and immaturity. So, you can imagine, Paul writes with agitation. He's miles and miles away. He hears what's happening with the Galatians, and he writes like no one has ever written before, with his soul of a pastor and his agitation and worry. And you know, you can hear, if you listen, you can hear the furious scratching of his reed in ink on papyrus. God has set us free in Christ, he says, but not free to do whatever feels good, whenever you want. Freedom in Christ means to be in service to others, he says, and in service to God. There are a whole lot of things we simply cannot do and have a place in the Christian life. Sexual immorality. Witchcraft. Temper tantrums. Getting roaring drunk. Envy and pride and community breaking posturing. Christ did not set you free to be a jerk, is his message. I'll say that again. Christ did not set you free to be a really huge, big, bad jerk. Christ did not set you free to be a self-centered partier. Instead of indulging in our selfish misery, there is gospel medicine. And today, Paul spells it out as the fruits of the Spirit. 9 beautiful, healing, restorative traits flowing out of each other. If you listen to them, you know that one flows into the other, and before you know it, all of them together make up one matched set. Love, the first, becomes joy. And that grows into peace. Think of your own life. Love that grows into joy and then becomes peace. And peace turns into patience and then turns into kindness that leads to generosity and flourishes as faithfulness. And finally, it is gentleness that is the sign and key of self-control, which bundles all of these together. Doesn't that give us the freedom to take a deep breath and say, oh, today, dear God, I can let some of this or all of this or any of this go. Unlike Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, when he gives us these beautiful gifts of the Spirit that differ from person to person, these fruits of the Spirit given to us today are common to all of us, a gift to all of us. You cannot say you're called to the fruit of kindness, but then patience is not something that you need. It doesn't work that way. I encourage you to take your bulletins home, or if you want to get a large print that already has it printed out, take this scripture home with you and cut it out and stick it in your calendar or your refrigerator so that you might know these fruits of the Spirit, for they are for you. Isn't it obvious what happens when we try to get our own way all the time and our will runs riot and we turn our back on these fruits? It comes in our pleasure seeking, and our pleasure seeking knows no bounds. Without living in Christ's freedom, our days turn into one big roulette wheel of choose your fortune. We are stuck in that slimy pit. And we are personal instigators of drama. We are accumulators of emotional garbage, cheaters for advancement, grabbers of attention. Our tempers burn out our hearts, and our unreserved judgmentalism poisons our souls. But my friends, watch what happens when you are willing to set aside that kind of misery that keeps you trapped. God grants such calm and simplicity, such humility and serenity. It's much the way that fruit appears on a tree. First, there's a bud, and then maybe a flower, and then fruit. And we grow up, and we mature, and we gain everything. A willingness to stick with people. Acts of compassion, they just trip from our hearts. We cultivate a conviction that people of good conscience, well, we can disagree. And we find ourselves with loyal friends, and we become ourselves healthier companions. And our ability to forgive ripens to overflowing. And the gospel, it blossoms in our branches like fruit of a well-watered tree. And living our days in that kind of freedom is like looking up. And from a very far away, a distance, we see a glimmer, a light. And reaching the top, we find ourselves in a room. And there's a table. And there are people that we love and who love us, and they're smiling, and they're weeping, and they're laughing. And then there is our Lord looking at us, each of us, and saying, "I've been waiting for you." We couldn't begin until you arrived. Oh, I've been waiting for you. And we couldn't begin until you arrived.